As a business owner, it's important to keep your business connected. Spectrum Business is committed to keeping your business online whenever and wherever you need us, all backed by the Spectrum Commitment. Get fast, reliable internet starting at $40 per month when bundled, or level up your internet speed and get a 3-year price guarantee. Learn how Spectrum Business can help your business stay connected at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
If you've been struggling with your weight, Mochi Health is here to help. Mochi Health is a long-term weight loss solution personalized to fit your unique needs and goals. Meet one-on-one with board-certified obesity doctors and registered dietitians who are on a mission to listen. Eligible patients can access custom-formulated GLP-1 medications at an affordable set price and get them delivered to their home each month. Take our free quiz at joinmochi.com and use code AUDIO40 at checkout for $40 off your first month of membership.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Nerd Talk, talking about Nerd Talk, yeah!
Hey, welcome to Nerd Talk Plus, our weekly deeper dive into the stories that make this world nerdier. From Odyssey's Nerd Talk, I'm your host, Craiger. Hi there. He's been a managing editor here at Odyssey, and now just a guy making jokes on Twitter during paternal leave, or whatever that's called. He's Brandon from the internet, and he does this for free.
Yeah, don't tell my wife or son that I'm doing this for free. I am on paternity leave because I did have a baby a few months ago, and I work for a company that is nice to me. I tweeted, speaking of, this wasn't a joke on the internet. I tweeted today that you gave me some of the best parenting advice that I've gotten so far, which is if your baby is screaming, you told me this before I even had him, I didn't do anything, before my wife had him, that if the baby is screaming, like there is something in your, you just lose all rational thought, especially when it's like 2 in the morning. And this happened the other day, and I have to preface this with, like, I'm a very patient person. I'm not the kind of person that would, I hate, like we've talked about it on this show before, I hate violence of all sorts. It made me want to, like, throw my child as far as I possibly could. And so
Seahawks are looking, I'm just saying.
Like. But you had told me that just set them down, walk away, and then come back to it when you can. And that is the best advice. And the reason that I think that this works for Nerd Talk is because you had told me that the reason that I asked my wife if she ever gets angry with our son, who's 3 months old, right? Like, he has no control. I asked her, do you ever get angry with him? And she said, no, not at all. I've never once felt like that. And you were telling me that the theory is that in caveman times, that if the father, if the protector of the family had heard the baby crying, it goes, oh, shut up, like my adrenaline is spiking because I am worried about possible predators hearing this coming into our den, cave, hut, whatever it might have been, and attacking us because they know where we are because they're using the sound, where the mother has that more nurturing thing. And so, like, we are calculated into our DNA century, you know, millennia later, that we have to deal with getting super
angry. I think you're making
me
sound kind of like a monster, where I'm like, hey, if you have a problem with your kid, you just leave him because you're a man. And that's what men are supposed to do, you loser women. Yeah. That's what it sounds like you're saying right now. And I'd just like to be clear that that is not how I feel at all.
No, I just told you.
Got some good advice when I was a new dad, and it was from one of our pals at the station. And he said, hey, there's going to be times where you just can't keep it together, and you make sure you did not preface this to my satisfaction as the person being credited for the advice. You secure the baby first, so that way you know that they're safe, and then you walk away to the garage and you yell your mother effers and all that stuff for,
punch
you know,
something
for a couple minutes until you can, like, catch your breath, and then you can, like, okay, I feel less insane now. So then you go back inside and then resume parenting.
I'm not like setting my baby on the floor. Like I put him in his crib, or I'll put him in the chair. Yeah, okay. I do live in Spokane. I put him in the cabin out back, and yeah, I go chop some wood. No,
it's called an outhouse. You put your baby in the outhouse.
Yeah, obviously. No, he's actually a really good kid, but like the 10% of the time that he's not. That was great advice. And I'm pretty sure that the person that gave you that advice is the most calm person on the planet. So I think honestly, I trusted you when you told it to me because you had told me that he was the one that told it to you.
Not me. What do I know? I'm just a talking moron or whatever. But anyway, neither of us is a scientist, very good parent, engineer, or supervillain yet. But if you are, let us know what we get wrong, or better yet, what we get right. You parenting? You heard what we just said? I bet you there's going to be some folks out there that agree with what we just said. Also, if you could just spread the word, tell a friend, write a review where you find it, leave a comment on the social media or whatever, or just hit us with your answer to this episode's question of the week.
This episode's question of the week: what food are you allergic to?
Oh man, am I allergic to any food? Oh, I am. Okay, cool. We can get there.
Okay.
All right. Well, kicking things off this morning, after agreeing to perform in some capacity for a Tibetan freedom event, China has erased Keanu Reeves from Chinese existence. Quote, it's no longer possible to watch any content starring Keanu Reeves in China, reports PC Magazine. And searching for his name returns no results from search engines. Whoa, I mean, Facebook must be furious that they have the ability to do this. How are we supposed to market and send our marketing robots after you if we don't?
Oh my gosh.
So China considers anything involving freedom and Tibet in the same sentence to be a separatist movement and gets real grumpy about them monks. I imagine Rage Against the Machine is like enemy number one when it comes to media to the Chinese government. You can just see the 90s for more info. I can't even imagine.
There was this thing recently where in China, which is famous for its censorship, they edited the end of Fight Club. I think that they ended up changing it back, but they had edited the end of Fight Club to right before, sorry, spoiler alert, before I spoil all of Fight Club for all of you, pause this or skip forward a minute.
I've never seen it.
Oh, for real? Okay, so this basically the end of the movie. It's a big anti-capitalist. You know, we're going to blow up all the banks, erase everybody in the all personal debt in the United States. So the very end of the movie is Ed Norton and Helena Bonham Carter watching all of these towers, all of these bank towers collapse in an explosion. Nobody in them, but they erased essentially the personal debt of every American in the United States. Now,
Fight Club.
In Fight Club, yeah. So the whole preface of the entire thing is we punch each other, and Ed Norton is having some multi personality disorder type situation going on. Anyway, the Chinese version cuts the right before all of the buildings explode, and it puts some text over it that says, and right before the terrorist plot was able to continue, the police discovered the plot and came in and arrested them, and capitalism continued. And which I think is incredible to think of all of the movies. Like, obviously terrible. Let art be art, whatever. Sorry, China, stop censoring things. But at the end of the day, I kind of want to start editing movies and start doing my own endings over them. Like at the end of Cool Runnings, Jamaica doesn't crash. They win. They win the bobsled race, you know?
Dude, spoiling movie after movie for me.
Both of those movies have been out for well over 20 years. I do not feel bad for spoiling. Like if somebody right now spoiled Game of Thrones for me, a show that I've never watched, I'd be like, you know what? I deserved it. It kind of had its big moment. I had plenty of time to try to watch it.
She's terrible in the end.
I don't even know the who. I heard Trogdor comes in and burninates everything to the ground.
God, yeah. It is basically that. There's an ice Trogdor too. It's amazing.
Oh, an ice Trogdor?
Yeah. I mean, it's not technically ice, but it feels like it's ice because it's the undead one from the ice part of the world. So
that Wa Trogdor?
Like it's evil. A me, Trogdor. I'm not gonna win.
I'm a burning everything to the Wa ground.
Yeah, what's crazy to me about your story that you just told about the Chinese doing that to Fight Club is, like, it's crazy that they're censoring the West trying to come to their point of view, and they're like, no, the West's still very evil. Yeah. They're still very evil. They're still very capitalist. Boy, those idiots. That Brad Pitt, though, he's all right.
Well, I mean, like, the whole idea of people like walking out of any, like, it's like when you're a teenager and you see Boondock Saints for the first time, and you're like, I'm gonna go buy it. You haven't seen that either?
No.
Oh my gosh. You see, basically, a bunch of young white men see Boondock Saints for the first time, and they walk out and they're like, I want to get Equitas and Veritas tattooed on my forearms because it means equality and justice. And I want to buy a peacoat and start carrying around silenced pistols and saying a lot and murdering people. So,
yeah, great.
So it's like that idea of, I think the Chinese were like, well, we don't want any sort of movie that could inspire any sort of activism at all, like sticking up for your ideals to grow. And Fight Club being such a popular movie, having such a compelling plot and kind of characters, is one of those movies where people could like maybe see themselves in these characters and start to think, hey, maybe capitalism or maybe like large governmental bodies or organizations are bad. I hope what happens at The Matrix is that at the end they're just like, and it turns out reality was actually reality the whole time, you know, like, and Keanu Reeves sucks.
So to me it sounds like somebody at, you know, China censorship org was like, really loved Keanu Reeves, and then when he joined the 35th version, like the 35th anniversary of the Tibetan Freedom Festival, they were like, how could you?
You broke my
heart. Like, and it feels like this feels very vindictive to me, instead of just like, we won't show that new movie or whatever, or we'll just turn him off for a while. They like deleted him from existence.
We deleted you from existence. That's like that's like the plot to Space Jam 3 or something.
It sounds like what you do when you break up with someone and you delete all the photos of them from your Facebook, and like one's still there from 6 years ago, and someone finds it. Like, hey, remember this person? You're like heartbroken again.
No.
Oh, terrible.
Who? Says President Xi as he like cries and goes and deletes. He goes and deletes his rewatch of Point Break for the 16th time. I can't watch what was that movie? Hardball was the G-Baby, and he coaches like a Little League baseball. The
when are you going to learn? When are you going to learn that you're like, what's that movie? And I'm like, I haven't seen...
If it's not John Wick,
I haven't seen that.
Oh my goodness. Do you even... You've been following Chinese media for too long because you don't know any of these Keanu movies.
It's so weird. I know Ip Man really well.
That's it. Yeah. What I find interesting is that maybe Keanu will learn Chinese and he will come out and apologize in Chinese the same way that John Cena did when he said that he recognized Hong Kong as a independent nation. Or no, sorry.
They're like,
He
sovereign.
Same thing that John Cena did when he acknowledged Taiwan as a sovereign nation, as opposed to being a part of China, like China thinks. And so he came out and he didn't learn Chinese just to apologize, but he already knew Chinese because he's trying to get WWE to take off over there and whatever. But he came out and just like apologized for like, I'm sorry for that.
Cutting off my paycheck.
I'm sorry for my mistake and blah, blah, blah. And so now like my brother, who's like hardcore American, is like, oh, I won't watch. What's that movie with? I won't watch any movie or show with John Cena anymore because
I'm never watching reruns of Psych when he makes those appearances.
John Cena's in Psych.
Yeah. An experimental male birth control pill could go into testing as soon as this year. Ooh. Well, gone are the days of bong rips and hot tub soaks as your primary birth control methodology. That was always the big rumor when I was in college, that like, you smoke too much weed, you'll never knock anyone up, and that is definitely not how that works, but hot tubs maybe. Anyway, these non-hormonal pills kept mice sterile for 4 to 6 weeks after being used, and I'm sure you're aware of how quickly mice can reproduce.
Why do you say it like that? I'm sure you're aware of how mice can reproduce.
I'm sure you, Brandon from Spokane, are aware.
I assume, but I don't know.
I know you're trying to single-handedly break Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles a reality. Anyway, rather than targeting testosterone and blocking that, leaving you feel weak and unable to rage out and smash things when you're upset, This pill blocks vitamin A in the reproductive system, and apparently that's important for making more stinky little humans. So,
oh, dude, they are stinky.
My big problem is that, like, I can barely remember to do anything that isn't making the wrong choice. I'm like, I need to eat healthy at lunch, but also fast food is on the way home. So, like, I don't... Relying on me to take the pill every day is just the worst possible choice. And I'm not saying it needs to be on somebody else, but, like, I speak for myself and a lot of other males that I watch their behavior, and I'm like, that person is not qualified to be taking birth control. So,
I mean, if we're trying to rely on... and look, I get what you're saying. It is not an excuse for men who... when women have had to do all of the things for as long as they have in order to keep themselves from getting pregnant, such as taking a pill every single day or getting literal, like, things injected into their arms or getting IUDs shoved up in there. I feel like, sorry, that was crude. My bad. But, like, the fact that, like, I would totally take that.
In my mind, an IUD looks like the pizza topper that keeps the box from touching the top
of the pizza. Absolutely. That is exactly what I think. And my wife has had one. Like, I should know more about these. The thing is.
Also, that does seem like a piece of, like, outdoor lawn furniture for mice, I think. Yeah. So, like, yeah. Also, it's like, it's my little tea table. Hi, I'm a mouse.
That is what the baby Ninja Turtles ate their pizza at. They ate their little pizzas on top of the big pizzas. This idea that, like, look, I think the men who, many men who need to, look, a lot of guys have a hard time remembering to wash their jeans or underwear or things like that, like single guys, right?
The amount of times I successfully brushed my teeth as a single person was, like, so pathetic compared to what is actually required.
And I don't think anybody wants to trust these guys to, you know, take these pills. But at the same time, it's like the impetus has been on women to protect themselves from getting pregnant when it's a two-person job, right? I think, as I've been told, I've made a human. I know, trust me. Now,
done sex.
Now, the thing is, the other thing I think about that is the only time that this is actually going to be effective is if they make it free. And then the only, like, because, like, men are going to go out and they don't even buy condoms. So we're going to expect men to go pay for this birth control. So this is the way, maybe, that they work into making all birth control free, even the one for women, because that's been the biggest thing for the longest time, is if you want people to practice safe sex and to use birth control, you have to make it easier to get access to contraceptives. And one of those things is to make it free. But now that men want it, it'll probably happen sooner rather than later.
Your brother is like, I'm not paying for no dudes to get free nothing. Same brother from before.
Yeah, anyway. Yeah. No, that one was my school teacher brother.
An Italian scientist has created a pizza crust that doesn't need yeast to make it rise. I posted this somewhere, and someone was like, "Yeah, it's called baking soda, dude." And I was like, "I don't cook. I don't know if that's accurate or not." But anyway, before you demand his passport and shoot him to the sun or whatever you do with an Italian,
I was gonna say, was he deported?
Like, sir. To France you go.
Yeah.
This guy's got a severe yeast allergy that prevents him from living to his full stereotype, and using science has created a pizza dough without yeast. Now, I didn't really understand this before this story, but yeast is what makes the bread part of the pizza pie rise, and I knew that part, but I didn't understand how it worked. I guess the yeast gobbles up the sugars within the dough, the raw dough, and then it like burps and farts out CO2, giving it that bubbly texture that helps it to rise.
Yeah.
Well, the way that they did it, a team of different pizza enthusiasts, including a materials PhD from wherever in Italy, they scienced their way around it by studying polymers and how they're made. Effectively, they were like, let's study rubber, or from the previous, let's study rubbers, and figure out how we can manufacture a pizza dough using the same sciences that happened there.
I feel like...
Wild...
This is like the same stuff that we ate in elementary school, right? like rubber pizza. I feel like we've done this. We didn't need the guy from Harvardo in Italy to tell us how to make a pizza without yeast.
I believe it's called Havarti.
Sorry, yeah, Havarti. Havarti University.
We both do the hand thing.
Where did you go?
Harvardo. Harvardo. Oh my God, that's the funniest thing all day.
Now, so over Christmas, I got a pizza oven, and I have been getting very into making my own pizza, and part of that has been trying to really drill down into making my own dough from scratch.
Have you tried using rubber?
Come on, man. I don't use protection.
Get the stuff that doesn't have spermicide. I'm just warning you ahead of time.
I heard if I use two, it's more protective. Extra yeast? I don't know. Oh, gosh. You never want to mix yeast with that.
And the show has hit a new low.
Oh, gosh. So I've gotten really into making my own pizza and making my own pizza dough. And yeah. I can't imagine doing it without yeast because, like, the biggest part of the entire dough making process really is, and the limiting factor often for me is how much time you have to let your dough sit out so that yeast has enough time to interact with the sugars.
Yeah.
For instance, the other night, my wife and I decided to make, the wife that I have access to, yeah, and I decided to make pizza from scratch, and we had decided so late on, but we still wanted to use the pizza oven, make our own dough and all that, so I did it. I did it with a faster, an instant yeast and things like that. I didn't give it enough time, so when I was actually stretching the dough out, it tore up, and it was just very frustrating. Now, the question of the week...
Oh, yeah. Let me hit the button.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Is what food are you allergic to? The reason I ask that is because this Italian scientist was allergic to yeast, and he's like, well, I'm Italian. I have to eat pizza. I'm tired of dealing with the squirts or the opposite of that. Every time I partake
like
in my...
sucks? Like he just walks by someone's...
I was imagining constipation.
Loose stool and just like...
Just whatever bad bowel movement that yeast causes him. My question is, like, what extent would you go to, like, well, first of all, Greg, are you allergic to any food?
Yeah, I don't have a lot of food allergies. I think, I don't know if I have technically allergies. My mother,
like intolerances, yeah, or something like that.
My mother late in life became allergic to, I'm worried about this, became allergic to potatoes.
Ooh.
And, it was like potatoes and beans and and celery and peas, like just like this random ass cross section of like foods. But that meant like, no, you know, obviously you know what potatoes are and what they're used for. But like, imagine never having another French fry again. Like that's like wild. And she still would, and she would break out in hives from it. And so like, I always worry about food allergies to this capacity. But really the only thing that I know that actively messes my ass up is shallots.
Oh,
of all
weird
things. Yes, okay. We can't cook anything with shallots in it. Otherwise, like, it is, I'm just a disaster for like a full 12 hours afterwards. How about you?
I think I'm the same as you. I don't have any like allergies per se. I did used to have a bunch of stomach issues, and I went to a doctor and they did a big, you know, panel of stuff, and they're like, look, you're you know, somewhat sensitive to gluten. And I make bread all the time. I love bread. I love crusts. I love things that gluten is part of. And they were like, oh, and you're also sensitive to all of these other things as well, like slight sensitivities. And say you go on this kind of limiting diet for a while. Surprisingly, the thing that ended up fixing it all for me was not inventing a new glutenless bread, because a lot of people have done that. It was actually, and we've talked about this on the show before, we both deal with some mental health things, and I started taking some antidepressants, and it turns out that one thing that can cause IBS is a low level of serotonin in your system. And so sometimes when you start to increase that serotonin, whether artificially or naturally, you actually will have a better digestive system. Your digestive system will function at a... the way that it's supposed to, rather than having diarrhea or never having diarrhea or pooping in any way. Now, the reason that I asked this question of the week is because, like, say you were allergic to potatoes, Greg.
Yeah.
what extent would you go invent a new potato in order to be able to enjoy a French fry again, or no. Do you leave it up to the ill scientists at Harvardo to do the work for you? Is it racist? I don't know.
The
ricercatori
is what it is. The researchers. Ricercatori, I think. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You've been studying Italian.
Yeah, for like more than a year now. Yeah. I just hit my 445th day of my streak or something like that. That's pretty good. Huh?
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, so for me, I'd not even convinced that I would stop eating the thing that makes me sick. So I don't know that I'm willing to even begin the process of looking for something as a substitute, because I won't.
Yeah.
Now, with shallots, that's like not hard to give up, because I don't really even understand. It's just like a different tasting onion. It's and like so a, I yeah, can just like yeah. replace it with onion and it seems okay.
But and you're fine, okay, so. And you're okay with onion, huh?
Yeah, it's very odd.
Yeah, that's interesting.
So there just must be some extra little thing.
It's usually like a small, like a sugar or something like that, is what I've learned from my my adventures in IBS, which is my favorite children's book. what I've learned from mine is that usually if you're able to eliminate a certain type of sugar, or actually most sugars from your diet, even natural sugars that come in vegetables and fruits and things like that, usually your stomach ends up doing a lot better. Yeah. That lasted all about 5 minutes. And before I was like, what if I just took antidepressants?
Yeah, and then I can eat candy, and then I'll feel double great.
So, great, like, awesome, yeah.
Yeah, that's, I follow this gut health doctor on Instagram, and his whole thing is just like, he's just eat vegetables, like, stop arguing and just eat vegetables, like, what are you doing? And I'm like,
A long time ago, I realized that, like, honestly, the trick to most things in life is, as you become an adult, you're like, okay, I know that I will have a good day tomorrow, is if today I drink a lot of water and I go to sleep early. And then every single day, we don't do it.
Bad day every day.
It's a bad day every day. You wake up in the morning, you're like, oh, why do I feel like crap? It's like, oh, because I drank absolutely zero water yesterday. And I went to bed at 9 o'clock, but I didn't go to sleep until 1 a.m. because I was too busy watching Peacemaker. That's the movie. That's the show I was trying to think of that had John Cena in it.
I can see the, the pause screen, the title screen that happens when you fire up Hulu or whatever it's on. I can see that in my mind, but I couldn't come up with the name of it.
Dude, so. It's hilarious. I've said it before. I'll say it again. It's hilarious. I haven't watched the finale. Haven't been bothered to in the last like 4 weeks, but it's funny.
Okay. So from foods that give us problems, I want to know, this is a kind of a classic Nerd Talk Plus conversation that we can have here, but there's a new food combination. This time, the bubbly nerds at Pepsi have teamed up with all-day breakfast specialists IHOP to roll out a new, fun, limited flavor, a maple syrup Pepsi Cola. Now, my friend's mom, who drank a Pepsi every single morning on her way to her job at the law firm or whatever, I think she would probably love this, but are you ready to dive into a maple syrup-flavored Pepsi? Look, I know it's hard to answer this, but like when I said mac and cheese flavored ice cream, that to me sounds just horrible.
See, to me, it's like at least I was thinking about this morning while I made a cream cheese bagel. Do you ever like think your way into something where you're just like, if I didn't think about the cream cheese at all, I'd be like, this is fine, this is normal, whatever. The first bite that I took, in my mind, I couldn't get out of my head that the second part of the word cream cheese is cheese. And then I was like, I'm eating cheese in the morning. It's like 6 a.m. and I'm eating a thing called creamed cheese. And it ruined it for me in my head. And so, but like at least with macaroni and cheese and ice cream, I'm like, okay, at least they're kind of, you know, similar milky-based things. And I'm like,
flavor profile. It's like ice cream is sweet and chocolatey stuff or whatever. And the weird thing is that typically the things that stand out is what it sounds like I would like it. Like carrot cake sounds just f***ing awful to me.
Oh, it sounds awful,
But then I have carrot cake and I'm like, Like, I think it's my favorite cake.
That's how I feel about cheesecake. It's the same thing. It's like, I didn't eat cheesecake for the longest time because I was like, cheese in a cake? No. And then I ate it because somebody was like, no, you're an idiot. Like, it's not cheese in a cake. And then I was like, oh my gosh, what have I been missing out on for so long? Like, cream cheese icing on things? Are you kidding me? On. Incredible. Yeah. Now, the problem is like, I can't get over, and again, I of course I would try this maple syrup soda. My problem with it is, at this point, like you've said it, this is a recurring theme on this show, talking about unlikely pairings of foods. That
this one seems likely to me, though. This one, at least it's sweet on sweet.
It's sweet on sweet. It's one is a very viscous, one is a very effervescent. I'm just having
it sounds too sweet for me. That's the problem.
I just have a hard time, like, stop. Just stop, companies. Just sell your Pepsi. You have enough money. You have enough brand exposure. Nobody needs to know more about you or IHOP. You're both fine. Like,
I think Pepsi's probably more fine than IHOP, to be fair.
Yeah, remember they did that thing a while back where they were
not,
gonna call,
don't worry about it. Yeah. Let's not talk about brands on here, please.
No. It's I don't know. The whole thing is like, Yes, I will try it, but I can't not picture just drinking maple syrup or pouring liquid effervescent syrup onto a waffle. Do you know
like
what I mean?
You're about to eat your waffle and it's like sparkling with effervescence. Oh, right. That'd be awesome.
Would it?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's like Pop Rocks on waffles. It seems like it would be great. I don't know if in practice it would be good or not, but having it be like crackle and pop on your thing, that'd be sweet. I mean, literally, but...
Yeah,
For me, I think IHOP, and then I'm like, I don't go for the maple syrup flavor on my pancakes at IHOP. I always go to one of the batch that they have there. So, like, when they have boysenberry syrup Pepsi, like, get at me.
It's like those machines that they have at the theaters now, where you can go and just, like, mix all of your... I mean, it's like what we did when we were... I don't know if you did this when you were a kid. But, like...
We inappropriately called them suicides, where you would, like...
Right, we called them graveyards. And yeah, you'd go and you would fill up every single flavor, which is basically how you make Mr. Pibb.
I would that's very funny. I would skip the diet, though, just for the record. I was diet gross.
You're like, are you kidding me? I'm not putting this aspartame into my body.
It wasn't that. It was like, that's what old gross people drink.
As he puts in Mountain Dew and root beer and like the high C lemonade or whatever.
I'm in. Yeah, that sounds amazing. We should go do that one of these days for sure. I like Graveyard better because it's the mental health implications are way better. So
in college, there was this one day where we were super hungover, and we went to the dorms, and we had these freshmen guest pass us into the dining hall, and we were really hungover. And so what we ended up deciding to do was just seeing what was the best ratio of Mountain Dew to lemonade. So we made like probably 15 different dining hall glasses of like 100% Mountain Dew. Okay, 10% lemonade, 90% Mountain Dew. Okay, 20%, and then and so on and so forth. And I wish I could remember the results of it, but I was so hungover. And it was a productive way to spend a Saturday morning.
So I don't drink much soda anymore. I drink seltzer. Like, it's problematic. My teeth are probably just going to give. Like, why am I doing Invisalign? I drink so much seltzer. Yeah, it's ridiculous. Yeah, yeah. I mean, I've got like...
They're all going to crumble out of your face.
I've got like this giant one right here. It's like three cans of seltzer in one. But when I do go and get like a cheesesteak or something like that just demands that you have a soda with it, like my go-to these days is the Arnold Palmer Coke. Instead of getting the iced tea, I do a base of lemonade, about 50% or whatever, and then I top it off with Coca-Cola, and man, there is something magic about that. Like, I'll still drink a Coca-Cola whenever you want me to, or a Pepsi for that matter. I had like horrible, like, I was having like weird anxiety problems, and then I had a Pepsi the other day, and like, it's Pepsid is the active ingredient in Pepsi. And like 10 minutes later, I was like, I feel incredible. This is incredible. My wife was like, yeah, what do you think you're doing, dummy? And I was like,
those commercials about like Pepsi healing world peace and stuff like that. Man, that's what it's all about.
Yeah, I like the concept of healing world peace. I realized it was a misspeak, but like the idea, like, wow, we have world peace. Let's get a Pepsi to fix that.
Yeah. No, It'll cause Pepsi. Pepsi is the fourth rider of the apocalypse.
Just kidding, Pepsi. We love you. Yeah. But yeah.
Speaking of teeth and sugars, which we've talked about ruining your stomach.
Let me talk to you about whales for a minute.
Let me talk to you about baleen. No. I love a whale. Dude, I've been thinking about them a lot lately.
Did you say baleen? Is that what you said?
Yeah, I said baleen.
Balena is the word for whale in Italian. Balena. Oh,
balena.
La balena.
Yeah. All whales, even non-baleen whales. You're talking about all cetaceans. Balena is the...
I don't know what baleen means, but yes.
Okay. So baleen is the fabric. I don't know. Not the fabric. It's the part of the anatomy in in a humpback whale or a blue whale or a fin whale or a lot of these whales where it's like they filter, they go and they take a big gulp of water and then it filters all of the water out, keeps all the krill in, and then they get able to swallow it. You know how it works.
Yeah, my krill tongue. Yeah, I gotcha.
Yeah. So speaking of things that are bad for our teeth, but not a whale's tooth, because they don't have them, they are baleen whales. Now, I heard recently that one of my favorite snacks is actually worse for my teeth than candy.
Oh no! Is it crackers?
It's crackers. It's goldfish. I mean, it's specifically what I heard was like they called out, and maybe they didn't have to do goldfish like that, but they called out goldfish crackers, and they were like, "Hey, these what happens is they stick to your teeth." I know you get that when you have a goldfish cracker. You got a kid. You probably got goldfish everywhere in your house.
I eat like a child. Like yes, dude, I like understand this, and then I have these stupid attachments on my teeth, and I look at my teeth. I'm like, green teeth,
yellow, orange.
Yeah, they're just huge chunks of masticated food stuck to the prongs on my teeth. Gross.
Yeah. And so these crackers get stuck to your teeth and you sit there in public going like, I don't want it out of my teeth with your finger like an idiot. And they stick to your teeth and they have carbs in them. And so when they break down because they're stuck to your dumb tooth, and they turn into sugar, which contributes to cavities. And I always thought man, if I eat this, this Mountain Dew flavored gummy worm or whatever it is, I don't know, whatever future candy I'm gonna have, which, oh my gosh, that actually sounds amazing. Mountain Dew flavored gummy
yeah,
worm.
I would
smash that.
It doesn't even need to be a you wouldn't pass it no. Doesn't even need to be like Baja Blast or anything. Give me an original Mountain Dew.
Yeah, the OG Mountain Dew.
God, when it was the Code Red era when that stuff came out, and the orange one tasted like that high C, only it was like Mountain Dew powered.
Oh, dude, the Code Red Mountain Dew
but it was orange. It was it wasn't the Code Red specifically. It was one of the gamer fueled or something. Whatever that is. I don't remember. But anyway.
Either way, go ahead.
I've got breaking news.
Brandon. Oh yeah. Okay.
It's whale related. Are you ready?
All right. Hold up. I'm getting prepared for this. Yeah.
Now we hear all the time about whales gobbling up microplastics.
Yeah, we do hear about that.
Especially the baleen whales that use the filters and the krill tongue to capture a bunch of the tiny
krill tongue sounds like Aquaman's sidekick. Aquaman and krill tongue.
Well, a lot of times the whales are gobbling up microplastics in the ocean. Now that's going to hit a little bit closer to home. Also, the sad part about how we find that out is that it's usually a dead whale on the beach, and then we slice open its belly and we're like, what's in here? Oh, it's full of plastic. Cool. Yeah. Anyway, this hits a little closer to home now because plastics from scientists are starting to find tiny particles of plastic in human blood, which to me is like, if we're gonna go down, we're taking you with us, vampires. Get in here. And it sounds terrible, right? I mean, that's not ideal that the microplastics are making it into our airborne and that are getting into our food, and now we're getting them transmitted into our very own bloodstream. That sucks. Yeah. But hear me out for a second. Plastic is made from petroleum.
Yeah.
And petroleum is made from dinosaur juice. So when you have microplastics in your blood, it's almost like you're part dinosaur.
Dude, that means that a vampire could drink your blood, and instead of you turning into a vampire, you could turn into a dinosaur.
Obviously. Also, I learned something this week. You want to know what I learned this week? Not from the show?
Yeah.
My child, he's 4, he asked me what the difference is between a pteranodon and a pterodactyl. And after I got done explaining to him how P-T-E-R is the Latin for wing, which he didn't understand at all, I was trying to explain how helicopter is
his name.
Yeah, should have been. Have I told you about this? That helicopter is the P-T-E-R at the end of copter. It's not heli and then copter. It's helioter, which is a revolving wing.
Okay.
Is that
the
guy?
Yeah, that's crazy.
I would have never thought P-T-E-R.
So where does the cop come from?
It's the cop flies it over your neighborhood as they're chasing you with their, what's that called, IR camera.
Right. But robot dogs.
But he said, hey, what's the difference between a pteranodon and a pterodactyl? And I was like, kid, I mean, let's Google it. And it was like one of those things that when you start typing it, or at least for my Google, when you start typing it, it immediately knows what I'm looking for.
Yeah.
And I guess pterodactyls are winged flying reptiles from whatever period that have teeth, where pteranodons are toothless.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's pretty nice.
That's the only difference?
No, I'm sure there's like size and stuff like that. Yeah, but the major classifier is...
So like a pteranodon is just a pterodactyl that had too many crackers and had its teeth broken down because of the sugars and the carbs.
That's the one, yeah.
Yeah, got it. That's, okay.
You totally understand this.
Nailed it.
I want to leave on one last bit of at least fun news that is dinosaur related. Are you ready?
Yeah, absolutely.
A Tyrannosaurus skeleton named Stan, because we named these things.
Yeah.
You ever see the one at the house that's on Lake Washington? Like, just a rich person that owns a house on Lake Washington has a Tyrannosaurus skeleton in their living room, and you can see it from the water when you go zipping by? That's like a real thing.
Oh, my gosh. Just like, it's like a real... Well, didn't we learn about Tyrannosaurus, though? They're not even a real...
We'll get to that here.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. The most complete skeleton ever is called Stan, and it's like 200 and something bones out of the potential 350 bones in a Tyrannosaurus skeleton.
Wow.
So that's crazy that we don't even have a complete one in human, or in the remains that we've dug up or whatever. This thing was found by like an amateur paleontologist, someone who does it in their free time in like South Dakota. South Dakota went and dug this thing up, and they had the best Tyrannosaurus skeleton known, right? And then somebody, because of how they collected it, the state wasn't allowed to keep it. They had to auction it off. And so somebody paid over $30 million to get their hands on this. And it was a private sale, so no one knew who it was. And I didn't realize this, but at some point, The Rock was on the Peyton and Peyton Monday Night Football podcast show or whatever.
Yeah.
And he was showing off, he has a replica skull that was made from a mold of Stan, and he has that in his home. And so he was like, check this out, I got this thing. And he was just giving dinosaur facts about this. I got to go back and watch the clip of this because it sounds absolutely incredible. So people started to speculate that it was The Rock who had spent the $30+ million to buy the complete dinosaur skeleton. Now, scientists were worried that it would end up in a private collection and they wouldn't be able to have access to continue studying it, which would indeed be terrible. But instead, it is off to Dubai, which I find to be, or Abu Dhabi, excuse me, which I find to be amazing because that's where all the oil is and that's where all the dino juice has ended up, right? So it's there to go to the Natural History Museum in Abu Dhabi or Dubai. I don't know which one.
You know what I think is ironic?
Yeah.
Not the fact that these dino bones are being transported back to where all of their blood, their dino juice is being taken from the earth. What I find ironic is that it was a massive rock that took the dinos out, and now they are owned by a massive rock.
They're not owned by a massive rock. Your joke is amazing, but he is not the person who purchased it. He denied it. But it was somebody that bought it and for the Natural History Museum, and they were keeping it hush.
Well,
in my mind, I would like to see The Rock have bought it and then put it onto like a piece of property where he lives in probably Florida. I just assume he lives there.
No, he buys it and then turns it into like an exoskeleton, like cosplay suit, and he just
like a fighting suit.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And well, then I wanted to see him ride it. That was kind
of
my goal.
Oh,
I was hoping
of course,
we could see him like make it into an animatronic, and then he would ride around on a
like those inflatable costumes that you put on, and it looks like you're a little person on a cowboy, like, or like they make them for tauntauns. You like get on this little tauntaun suit. It looks like it's your legs, but you're just like walking around in it. That's what The Rock is doing with Stan.
Perfect.
Also imagine being like the, I don't know, what do you call him back? The king of the not the jungle, the earth, I don't know what the Tyrannosaurus Rex was back.
Of the thunder lizards?
The king of the thunder lizards. And you, your skeleton, you die because the rock smashes you. You smell what the rock's cooking, and it's your flesh.
Yeah. And all your friends.
And all of your friends and everybody that you've ever known and loved. It destroys you, and millions of years later, they dig you up, and your name at the time was like Megala Nicola, and they find you, and they're like, I don't know, Stan, right? That'd be like us, you know, in a million years, our oil blood descendants, or our plastic blood descendants, dig us up, and they're like, this guy looks like a Carl.
I just imagine them calling us, instead of humans, they call us peens. Look at these little peens.
Look at this little dingus.
Now, one final part to answer a question that you, to a point that you made previously, is that a few weeks ago we learned that the Tyrannosaurus has now been reclassified into three different beasts, most likely. The scientists think that there's probably, ricercatori, think that there's probably three different types of Tyrannosaurus that could have happened. The Tyrannosaurus Imperatus, I think, was one, which is the emperor class.
Yeah.
And then Tyrannosaurus Rex. This one, at 40 feet long and however many feet tall, would be a Tyrannosaurus Regina.
Which is the queen of the thunder lizards.
Right. And so it's the, because that's how science works, we make it diminutive to the, so it'd be like, at 40 feet long, it's still not the biggest class of Tyrannosaurus.
And we
call it Stan, like jerks.
That's what I'm saying. It's like millions of years later, it's like, I'm going to call it Stan. It's like, you don't know my name, Queen of the Thunder Lizards.
Like Rita Repulsa, you're just like, your name will be Debbie.
Yeah, Deb.
Damn it. All right, well, that brings us to the end of another dinosaur, whale, and other flavor combination action-packed show, and it's time that we took a thought back and decided what we learned today. What did you learn today, or this week, or whatever we say usually?
I learned that The Rock doesn't own a dinosaur.
Not a complete one, at least.
Not a complete one.
That we know of.
Yeah, oh, good point. What did you learn this week?
Man, I learned a lot. That Xi Jinping is probably at home crying over
his signed copy of Point Break.
Having to delete that because of... Now, if you're the leader of China, do you get to keep your secret stash so you can keep watching Point Break and be like, get Brody, get him?
I mean, that's how it works, right? Like, they... sorry, I love Point Break. When they recently raided and destroyed this like large Taliban commune, they found out that it was like full of gay porn and all of these things that they say that they are super super duper against and kill people over, right? Anyway, that's definitely how.
No, it's only uncool outside of the cave, dude.
Yeah, okay.
This is the safety cave. This is your safe space.
Yeah. And that's basically a bunch of Keanu stuff all over the wall in Xi's palace. What else did you learn this week?
Most importantly, I think I learned that if you want to make a great pizza, you need to study at Harvardo.
Harvardo. Nerd talk, talking
about nerd talk, yeah! Hey, thanks for listening to Nerd Talk Plus Tuesdays at 10 a.m. live on the Odyssey app. We do it every week-ish. I mean, unless we don't, because sometimes things just don't work. And let us know how it sounded. We got all new setup from Brandon, and we'll see how that went. And so, yeah.
Blue whale is still the largest creature to have ever existed, so take that, Regina.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max 1 offer per account.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money, how to fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment, all so you can save more on your next adventure. Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro.
Baseball's all about the games, and the best in daily gaming is on the MLB app, where every day starts with new puzzles and challenges. Test your skills with MLB Pickle, the ultimate mystery player challenge, and Immaculate Grid, where stats and strategy collide, or chase the $5.6 million jackpot and beat the streak, presented by BetMGM. And for an all-new spin on fantasy sports, there's Spinball, the game's official home for games, is on the MLB app. MLB trademarks used with permission. No purchase necessary. Restrictions apply. For official rules, go to MLB.com/play/official rules.
I'm Bobby Finger.
And I'm Lindsay Weber. Our podcast, Who Weekly, is everything you need to know about the celebrities you don't. Think of us as your cheat code to People Magazine, your glossary for Hollywood, a shortcut to understanding pop culture at large.
For the past 8 years, Who Weekly has been telling listeners everything they need to know about the celebrities they don't.
Who Weekly airs twice weekly with brand new episodes on Tuesdays and Fridays. Listen and follow Who Weekly, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.